Well, good morning, everyone. Please take out a Bible and turn with me to John chapter 15. John in chapter 15, we're going to begin our lesson as usual by talking about something that Jesus said. And in the context here, Jesus is imparting some wisdom to his disciples not very long before he will be taken away to be crucified. And he says to them in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'A servant is not greater than his master.' If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." It's a very powerful words that Jesus says. Very important words. And in fact, for the disciples who he's writing to, not very soon after Jesus dies, is resurrected, and then eventually goes back up into heaven, not very long after that, they will all experience the kind of persecution that he's talking about here. And he tells them to watch out and to expect these things, because persecutions will come. I have a hard time reading this. And maybe you do too. Because in the year 2019... in Phoenix, in the United States of America, we live in a society that is so permissive and tolerant. We live in a society that is, by and large, full of peace and prosperity. We do not experience the kind of persecution that the early church experienced. You and I have never faced having somebody bust down our door, take our children and our wives, our loved ones, our family members, take them away to prison for their beliefs. You and I have probably never sat in handcuffs in a jail cell singing hymns of praise to God because of our beliefs. You and I have probably never been faced with public stoning and death for our beliefs. And I have a hard time sometimes reading verses like this, because I look back to the persecution that existed back then, and I don't see any of that in my own life. Now, granted, there are probably places throughout this world where this does exist. And this might be a very different message for those kinds of people. But for me, and I think probably for you, I read this and I say, we have it very good. We have it very easy today. And we don't experience these kinds of things. But what I wonder is, can we today, in the 21st century, here in the United States of America, can we look back to the persecutions that did exist back here during Jesus' time and during the disciples' time? Can we look back to these persecutions that they faced and learn something from it for ourselves today? Before we get into the lesson, I want to consider the life of Paul. You're all familiar, hopefully, with the life of Paul. Before he came to the Lord, his name was Saul, and he was a persecutor of the church. He was a Jew of Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he persecuted the church with all of his might, believing he was doing God's will. And on that fateful day, when he was traveling to Damascus to take away many Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to put them in jail, he saw the light, literally. He heard the voice from heaven, and he changed. He repented. He was baptized. He changed everything about his mission in life, and it was focused now solely on Jesus and spreading the gospel. And he did that. He spread the gospel throughout all of the Gentiles. He spread the gospel to many Jews. He went on three very extensive preaching trips in which he brought the message and established churches and encouraged them along the way. And then eventually, after many years, he went back to Jerusalem knowing full well that he was going to be taken into captivity, that he was going to be taken to prison. But he went. And he stood before the Jews, and he condemned them of their sins, and they took him away. And eventually, he had to call on the name of Caesar. He had to use his Roman citizenship to the point where then he was taken away to Rome. And as Alan's going to talk about during his lesson, it was quite a journey. But when he gets there, he continues the work. And we see throughout the New Testament, at least four letters are attributed to the time where Paul was in prison. We're going to look at a few of those today. But he was able to say something at the end of one of those letters, which was the motivation for this whole lesson for me. And when I was reading through it again, it jumped off the page at me. And it's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 18. The summary, after everything that he said in the first three, almost four whole chapters of Colossians, he says this: "Remember my chains." And while certainly that would have been an important message for the church there at that time, experiencing persecution and trouble, I believe those words are still important for us today. We need to remember the chains of Paul, and also of all of those who suffered persecution at the hands of those in the first century and onward. We need to remember these things because there is great value for us in remembering the persecutions of those long before us, even though you and I may never experience those kinds of persecutions today. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at four lessons that we learn, four things we can draw out from the New Testament, from the persecutions of those long ago, of Paul, of Stephen, of all of the disciples. Four lessons we can learn for ourselves today, despite the fact that we don't face these kinds of persecutions in our own lives. The first thing we notice is found in Ephesians chapter 6. We've just gotten done studying Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, Paul says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." This is right after he's talked about the armor that we're to put on and how we are to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. "To that end, keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." One of the things we learn from the suffering and persecution and the chains of those long ago is that they were ambassadors for Christ. And we understand that from a physical standpoint, don't we? We understand what it means when a king of some nation sends out ambassadors. They are representatives of the king. They're speaking on behalf of the king, or in the name of the king, or by the authority of the king. And Paul is an ambassador in chains. He's an ambassador in chains. And when you go back to John 15, when Jesus says, "If they hated me, they're going to hate you," you can understand why he's an ambassador in chains. Because he's speaking in the name of the Lord. He's speaking the truth to people. And they didn't accept Jesus, and they weren't going to accept Paul. When we think about the chains of Paul and all of those disciples long ago, know that they were ambassadors for Christ. They were representatives for Christ. And by extension, what I think it means for us today is when we embark on the same activity, the same work, when we go out into the world and take the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world, who are we? We're ambassadors. We're ambassadors of Christ. That is an amazing, amazing responsibility, isn't it? That's an amazing responsibility. You are speaking on behalf of Christ. You are doing his will in this world. You're working for him. And just like those long ago who worked for the Lord and were persecuted for it, we too today have to work for the Lord. And while we may not be put in jail for it, we certainly will experience rejection. We certainly will experience people making fun of us, calling us all sorts of names. And no, that is not even on the same scale as what they dealt with back then, but we share a part in the work of people like Paul and the apostles and all the disciples who spread the good news. You share in that work by being ambassadors along with them. And not only do you share in their work, but if you'll go back and remember from Acts chapter 9, do you remember what Paul heard, or Saul, as he was called at that time? You remember what he heard while he was on that road? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Jesus says, this is Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now hold on. Remember your Bible chronology here. Remember the timeline here. Jesus had died, he rose again, and he had ascended many, many months, weeks, I don't know how long it was specifically, but a long time had passed. How was Saul persecuting Jesus? Well, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. Saul was persecuting Christians. And what Jesus is saying here is when you persecute Christians, when you put Christians under trial and tribulation and you make them suffer, you are making me suffer, is what Jesus is saying. Goes back to Matthew 25 in the picture of the judgment. When you give one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name, you're doing it to me. If you're persecuting Christians, Jesus says, you're doing it to me. And so what we also see from this is that not only are we ambassadors to the king, but the king feels so close to us when we do his will and work in his name. He feels so close to us that it is as if someone is persecuting Jesus himself. Jesus takes it personally when someone persecutes you and puts you in chains and makes you go through trial. He felt it that way back then, and he still feels it today. It's a great lesson to learn, a great faith builder, knowing that we can lean on the strengths of those long before us, but we can also lean on the strength of Jesus who stands beside us in our work. And when we are rejected, take heart that Jesus is there and he takes it personally. But we also understand not only are we ambassadors to the king, but we have a certain opportunity to have sympathy for the saints. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at Hebrews a couple of times here this morning, but Hebrews in chapter 13, the Hebrew writer here says in verse 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. One of the great things about remembering the chains of those who have gone on long before us is that we can put ourselves in their shoes. We can put ourselves in their situation. Remember those who are in prison as if you yourself are in prison. And so when I read the stories of Paul as he's in prison, as I read the stories of his disciples who were thrown into prison, I can put myself in their shoes. Even though I may never experience that, I can put myself in their shoes and understand what kind of confidence it must have taken, what kind of courage it must have taken for them to do those kinds of things. Have sympathy for them and put yourself in their position. Feel the way that they felt. And that is one of the great blessings of reading through the New Testament, is we can sympathize, we can empathize with those people who suffered at the hands of the evil and the unjust. You and I can relate to them. And that's what we're called to do. But not only can we relate to those long ago, but we also need to relate to each other. We also need to relate to each other when we go through various difficulties, various trials. Because yes, we all go through things. And I don't mean it at all to diminish your suffering and the things you've gone through. We all go through things. And we should stand beside each other, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. He says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And what a great blessing we have in the church. You are not alone. you are never alone in your suffering and your trial and the difficulties you're going through. Whether it's at the hands of someone else or whether it's at the hands of some situation you just can't control, like your health or your family or something else. Whatever you're going through, we as the church, as a united body of Christ, are here for you. Just like Jesus takes it personally when his people are afflicted, we all take it personally when each other goes through trials and difficulty. And I hope you feel that here. I hope you see that here. And I hope you're the kind of person who looks out for opportunities when you see a brother suffering, when you see a sister going through difficult times, that you can sympathize with them and connect with them and suffer along with them. We remember the chains of those long ago and we put ourselves in their shoes, but we need to be willing to look across the aisle at our brothers and sisters who are suffering and going through various difficulties as well. And I believe that is one of the great blessings we have in the church, because you are not alone. You are not blazing your own trail to heaven by yourself. You have us to lean on, and we are here to lean on you as well. And that is what the church was always designed to do. Not only are we ambassadors, not only do we have sympathy for one another, but it's not hopeless when we go through trials. It's not failure when we go through trials. And you might think it was. You might think that we've lost, but we haven't lost. And I remember the story of Stephen, and I talked about this in a lesson not very long ago about the scattering. You remember Stephen, as he was taken outside the city and stoned and he died, one of the first great acts of offense by the Jews toward the church after it had been established. And there Stephen is lying there dead. And what happens? The effort does not end. In fact, it grows from that point. The church at that point was scattered across the ends of the earth, and the church grew and grew and grew. You can see God's hand in that so many times, so many examples, even in the Old Testament, when you look at people like Joseph, when you look at people like Daniel, as we're going to study about here in a few weeks. You look at these people who faced various trials and difficulties, and they could have become so depressed and down because of it, but they didn't see God's hand working, and God's hand was working. And even in the death of Stephen, as he was stoned, God's hand was working. And we can look back and remember the sufferings of those long ago, and with much more hindsight than they had, we can see the end of these things. We can see how they worked out for good, how God's plan came about. And so let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. This is where Paul is talking about his imprisonment directly. He's talking about the things that happened. And he could have threw up his hands and said, I'm in prison, this is over, I'm done. And he had many opportunities, by the way, back in the book of Acts, to run, didn't he? He knew full well that his belt on the hands of the prophet was a representation of him being in chains. And Jesus came to him multiple times and said, I'm with you. You're okay. This is what I want. And here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, he reassures his audience here and says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul looks at his imprisonment, all the trouble he was going through, all the difficulty he faced. And what does he say? This is working out for good. This has actually advanced the gospel. This has not caused my work to falter. This has not caused my spreading of the gospel to fail. In fact, now people take confidence and they can speak with boldness now, knowing that I am facing this for the sake of Christ. And you keep going back to John 15, don't you? Remembering the words of Jesus. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And when his people were oppressed, it showed a lot about who your leader really was. Because Paul could have thrown up his hands and given up, couldn't he? But he didn't. And he was working for Christ. And that working for Christ led to growth. It led to progress, even in great times of peril, in great times of tribulation amongst God's people. And then you go to Romans chapter 8, where he has some similar things to say. And this is probably where we go so often when a brother or sister is going through difficult, trying times. And this is not a platitude. This is not some sort of a bubblegum and rainbows kind of message. This is the truth, though we may not see it or though we may not accept it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." How many things work together for good? All things work together for good. Do not doubt that. Do not doubt that. Keep your perspective right. And he goes on to say, "For those who are called according to his purpose." If you are called according to the purpose of the Lord, no matter what you go through, no matter what difficulty you face on this earth, you can still make progress for the gospel. The Lord can still use you to make progress in his kingdom. And haven't we seen that even in our lives so many times? Yes, we see that in hindsight looking back to the apostles. We see that in hindsight looking back to Stephen as he was stoned. We can see there, obviously, the gospel continued. And as Paul said in Philippians, the gospel is advancing. But can't you see that even in the lives of some of those who you know today who've gone through trial? You know that brother or sister who's facing some terminal diagnosis, who keeps their heads up, who gets to work, and no matter what happens, is positive and uplifting and encouraging and is a valuable, vital member of the work in whatever ways they can be. You've seen that. I know you have. And when we look to those kinds of people, we can see that despite their weakness, there is great strength in following Jesus, in continuing to advance the gospel. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw up your hands and say, I quit because this isn't working. No matter what you go through, look back to the chains of those long ago and have confidence that all things will work together for good if you love him and if you're called according to his purpose. Again, that's not a platitude. That's real life. And that's the message from God for us all, to keep your heads high. And don't let the troubles of this world get you down, because they shouldn't. And God is continuing to work. And so finally, not only are we ambassadors, not only do we have a certain amount of sympathy, not only do we see progress in times of great peril and difficulty, but times of trouble and remembering the chains of those long ago help keep our perspective on our promised possession, and that is heaven. Let's look at the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10, as you'll all remember, the Hebrew Christians were tempted to go back to the old law. They had had enough. They were done following Jesus. And the Hebrew writer here is pleading with them, begging them, do not go back to the old law. There is nothing for you there. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. And he says, he reminds them of the trouble that they had previously faced. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who were so treated." Now, I want you to stop right there for just a second. I find this really interesting because he's apparently telling them that you're not currently facing difficulty like you did when you first came to Christ. Now, here I am in the year 2019, and I am not facing great difficulty. Maybe I never have, to the extent that they did back then. But not even they were experiencing the same kind of difficulty that they used to. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. There was a season in which you experienced great trial. Remember that season. And by the way, maybe it didn't happen to you directly. Maybe it was somebody who you knew that it was happening to. He says, suffering along with those who suffer. The same kind of picture that we just talked about a little bit ago. But maybe the persecution didn't happen to you. Maybe it happened to somebody that you knew. But it happened when you came to Christ, and it appears like it's not as bad now as it used to be. But he says, recall the former days. And if you could summarize this whole lesson, that's really what this is all about. Recall, remember, put in your mind the sufferings of others. Remember when we suffered as Christians. Remember when these things happened. And then he goes on in verse 34, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. The message for them was so important because he says, you with joy accepted the plundering of your property. When was the last time somebody stole your car and you were joyful about it? That's not natural. That's not normal. And he's saying because people were persecuting you, because they were taking your stuff from you, you were still joyful. Why? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That is what it's all about. This life is not what our life is. We're so used to this life, aren't we? We're so used to our physical appearance. We're so used to our physical relationships. We're so used to our possessions. We're so used to our routines. Not one aspect of this life is going to even remotely look the same when we're living in heaven eternally. The love of your life, your husband or your wife, will not be your husband or your wife in eternity. Wrap your mind around that for a little while. You will have a spiritual body given to you by the Lord. And your life there in heaven is going to look so different from this one. And so these momentary light afflictions that we suffer, while we're just passing through as sojourners and pilgrims, we're able to bear those things, joyfully bear those things, because we're waiting for a time where we'll receive our greatest reward ever. And that is what he goes on to talk about in Hebrews chapter 11. What I find really interesting here is as we are talking about remembering the faith and the faithfulness and the sufferings of those long ago, you know what the Hebrew writer did? He did the same thing. The Hebrew writer is preaching the same lesson that I'm preaching this morning, although he's talking to the first century Christians and telling them to look back in their past to a man named Moses. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, he reminds them, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. What are they? They're fleeting. They're passing. Rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. As valuable as it was for the Hebrew Christians to look back to Moses, it is as valuable for us today to look back to those who suffered chains for their faith, and also to look back to Moses. There is great value in looking back at the sufferings of others, even though you may not experience the same kinds of things that they're experiencing, because it helps focus us on our reward in heaven. Don't lose your reward. Don't get so caught up in the pleasures of this life. And we talked about it in the paneled houses lessons a few weeks ago. Don't get so caught up in the peace and the prosperity of this life that you miss out on that home that's eternally waiting for you, that's so much better than this one here on this earth. So that's the lesson. And sure, you may not experience prison. You may not experience physical trial like they experienced back then. You may never go through any of these kinds of things. But can you still learn the lessons from those who suffered long ago? can you learn that you are an ambassador of Christ, just like those back then were ambassadors of Christ, and that as ambassadors, Jesus is connected with you and feels along with you. Do you accept your responsibility to show sympathy for those who suffer around you, like they were called to do so many years ago, to lift up the hands of those who are suffering, to encourage them? And when you are suffering yourself, to allow your hands to be lifted up by those who are willing to encourage you. Do you accept the fact that there is great progress even in times of peril and difficulty? Do you accept the fact that it's not over and that it's not done and that it's not defeat when you go through bad times? That God can use those seemingly bad times for amazing results? And do you keep your eyes focused on heaven, like they did back then, and like we're still called to do today? Times of trial and difficulty will come from one degree or another, but don't lose heart. Please take out your songbooks and turn to the number that's been announced. If you are not a child of God here this morning, if you've not given yourself to Him in baptism, then I'm sorry to say, you are not with the Lord. And the world loves you because you're not with the Lord. And you need to accept the fact, you need to count the cost, that when you come to the Lord, as Jesus said in John chapter 15, when you come to the Lord, the world is not going to appreciate you. The world is not going to love you. It didn't love Jesus, and it won't love you. Count that cost, but know that that reward we just talked about is so much greater than any of the fleeting, passing pleasures of sin on this earth. If you're subject to the gospel call,